Hi, everyone. Thanks for viewing this Fundraising Success 2012 Online Creative Summit breakout session. Come back, please. Sweet talk to re-engage lapsed donors. We'd like to send a special thanks to our session sponsor, ChemArt, for helping make this session possible. I'm Margaret Battistelli-Gardner, Editor-in-Chief of Fundraising Success and the host of this session. Today, we've got Pamela Barden on hand to discuss re-engaging lapsed donors. Pamela is the president of P.J. Barden Incorporated and an instructor in UCLA's Extension School in the fundraising program. She's also a member of the Fundraising Success Editorial Advisory Board. Pamela, we are so pleased to have you joining us today. Why don't you take it away?
Thank you, Margaret. The reality we all live with, about half of our first-time donors may never give again. Of course, this varies by organization, but don't be surprised if your hard-to-acquire donor lapses. Even with a great first gift receipt, a welcome kit, and a new donor communication strategy, you won't keep them all. Before we move on, let's agree that there is no rock-solid definition of when a donor is lapsed. For most organizations, it's after a year of non-giving. But some nonprofits have a significant event or a membership drive only every other year, so they may not consider a donor lapse for 2 years. For this webinar, I am going to use 1 year of no giving as the dividing line between active and lapse. But everything I say applies if you use another differentiator. A few other important reminders. First, if you get a gift from a first-time donor and he or she doesn't give again for 90 to 120 days, your likelihood of getting another gift is almost nil. So while we are talking about lapsed donors in this session, we are going to have to pay attention to new donors who have a tendency to quickly become lapsed donors unless we have a plan to prevent that from happening. This means a special receipt that welcomes them and thanks them for their first gift. We have to fight donor remorse from day one. Instead of dropping your new donors into the regular mail stream, you may want to have a new donor series that introduces them to the many facets of your organization and presents some of your most responsive offers for funding. Oh, and by the way, any statistics I give are in general. Your numbers may be different, but bottom line, you need to know the overall health of your donor file so you can take the steps necessary to address problems like lapsing donors. Another reality is that even our ongoing donors stop giving for a variety of reasons, including financial, disinterest, forgetfulness. Every year when I get my records ready to do my income tax, there are few nonprofits I supported that I had frankly forgotten I gave to. And inevitably, there are a few that I didn't give to that I would have sworn I had. You do lose some donors because they just lose interest in your cause or they have a change in financial circumstances. But when we acquire a new donor, we both expect this to be a long and profitable relationship. In fact, as a nonprofit, we have possibly invested money to acquire that donor, and we rely on future giving to get us to break even, let alone profitability. Donors lapse. It's a fact. But let's not give up without a fight. Renewing our lapsed donors requires a plan. Continuing to send donors mail or email that is simply more of the same is probably not going to break through and re-win them for your cause. After all, they have been receiving your mail and ignoring it for some time now. You have to start the courting process all over again, talking to them differently and showering them with attention. Your ultimate goal may also change. Instead of trying to upgrade the donor, you are desperately trying to recover. Your focus is on securing another gift and rebuilding the relationship you have had in the past with that donor. Every donor who gave to you last year fell into one of three categories. She may have given to you for the first time last year. He may have given to you both last year and the prior year, maybe more years as well, but those two consecutive years at a minimum. And finally, she may have given to you last year and sometime prior to that, but not the year immediately prior to last year. In other words, those are the lapsed donors you required. So the question is, how do we do more of that? First, we want to develop a plan for reactivating our lapsed donors. And that plan requires a preemptive strike. And if that doesn't work, We need a proactive strategy. Our strategy has to include persistent variety. And finally, we plan for a purposeful ending. Let's talk about those four steps. What do I mean by a preemptive strike? I'm talking about the strategy we implement that prevents many donors from lapsing in the first place. The first thing to do involves some research on your donor file. What's the danger zone? In other words, when are your donors most likely to lapse? Assuming they give beyond the first gift, do a larger percentage stop giving after 3 years of consecutive giving, 2 years, 4 years? Whatever that point is, it is a golden opportunity to prevent lapsing by creating meaningful recognition for donors at that point. I am not talking about pulling them out into a separate program that eventually costs you more to maintain than you get back in revenue. Rather, continue mailing them your ongoing direct mail and newsletters and sending your electronic communication, but also create a program for them that acknowledges that they are special because they have given for X number of years. For example, one organization's research showed that they were most likely to lose donors after they had given consecutively for 3 years. So we created a program that inducted them into a special recognition group at 3 years. The group had levels, so they came in at level one, let's say bronze. In the letter thanking them for their faithful giving for the last 3 years, we told them that they were now a bronze member of this special group of donors, and that if they continued to give at 5 years, they would be gold, and at 7 years, they would be kryptonite or whatever. Other than a once-a-year letter with a reply form and reply envelope, of course, telling them their new level, or reminding them that they were 1 year away from the next level, or gasp that they were in danger of being knocked out of the club if they didn't give by December 31, they were treated like any other donor. But simply adding their special recognition significantly decreased their likelihood of lapsing. The takeaway? Find a meaningful way to recognize your donors for ongoing partnership, and many will thank you by staying active in their giving. But of course, not all will. So we need to develop a proactive strategy. Don't wait until a donor hasn't given to you for a year or more to start worrying. It's far better to rescue them before they have leaped off the ledge into lapsed donor land than to have to do a 911 crisis call. So if you acquire a first-time donor and he or she doesn't give again for 6 months, despite your great new donor welcome strategy, send a letter asking why. Tell the donor how happy you were when she decided to support your nonprofit because you depend so much on wonderful people like she is to accomplish your vital work. And then say how concerned you are that she hasn't continued her support. Bleed a little bit with your words. Sound like a real person really cares that the donor never gave again. And then invite her to send in a second gift and thank her right there for her ongoing support. For repeat donors, begin a soft effort at 9 months. This may be a telephone call to tell him about an exciting matching grant and ask for a gift, or it could be an email that announces a new development in a program that he has supported in the past and, of course, will want to support again. Whatever you do, don't rely on the same old that hasn't worked for the last 9 months. Instead, bring out something new, different, exciting, and ask for a specific amount that is equal to or even less than the last gift. Now is not the time to upgrade. Now is the time to save the relationship. So what about premiums? How do they work for renewing a lapsed donor? Should you use them? As usual, the answer is, it depends. You don't want to create a premium dependency where the donor waits to see if you offer something better next month. However, you might want to consider what I call a continuity premium. Let me explain. Several years ago, I purchased a collector plate in a series called The Birds of the Season. I love the artwork, the cardinal, and I figured I would get that one plate. As these things go, the second plate in the series was another favorite bird sitting by a covered bridge, a piece of Americana I love. So I figured I would get one more plate. Well, in my logical mind, if you have two in a series, you may as well get the rest. Because after all, birds of the season would only be four total, right? Spring, summer, fall, winter. Wrong. There were eight seasons, early spring, late fall, etc., and eventually I bought all 8 plates. A continuity premium builds on this urge to complete things, to have the entire set. Select or develop a meaningful item that is aligned with your mission. For example, you can provide the first pamphlet in a series on a health issue or a photo album with some photos in it from your program. When you send it to the donor, offer them the next part of the series, another pamphlet or more photographs, for example, when they send another gift. For those who continue giving to get more of the parts to their premium, you've created a habit of giving that can prevent future lapsing. But once a donor hits the 12 months with no gift level, your strategy is persistent variety. Contact them with a special last renewal effort every 3 months, mixing up the channels and messages. Your goal now is to find the combination of message and medium that breaks through to your former donor. In the regular communications they receive, tell them they are lapsed. Of course, you don't want to use that industry jargon, but consider variable text in your direct mail and say things like, please take a minute today to renew your support. We have continued our work, but frankly, the problem is so big and we urgently need your support once again. Please join us once again in our fight. By responding today, you will once again know that you are doing something that is truly making a difference. Don't limit your last language to direct mail. Use variable text as well in emails and in your newsletter or on the reply card of your newsletter. Have a unique URL for lapsed donors and drive them to a landing page that encourages them to once again join the cause. Your goal is to remind the donor over and over again of all the wonderful reasons he or she gave in the first place, each time pointing out that it has been some time since they last gave. And also ask why. In your strategy, include a survey mailing or online, if that's how your donors prefer to respond, after a year of no giving. This is simply 4 or 5 questions. In the cover letter, tell the donor that you've noticed it's been more than a year since she gave, and frankly, that concerns you. Remind her how important her partnership is to helping you fulfill your mission. Ask her to complete and return the survey so you can do a better job communicating to your partners in the future. The first question on the survey should be, why did you stop giving to our organization? Include answers along the lines of, I am no longer interested in what you do. My financial circumstances have changed. I thought you sent me too much mail. And of course, I didn't realize it had been more than a year since I gave. Now, you've wisely included a reply card and reply envelope, so your lapsed donor can renew right then if she chooses. Other questions including asking why they first started giving to your organization, what projects or programs they are most interested in, and what they prefer regarding communication. For example, a quarterly letter plus your newsletter only, email only. Sure, you may end up sending them less mail, but by listening to their preferences, they may actually start reading your mail again, and you will have recovered the donor. If you have the bandwidth, capture the responses in your donor management system. You can use the information later. For example, which one of our programs interests you most can help you target specific mailings to the donor that may be more likely to generate a response. But if you don't have the staff to do this, don't worry about it. The purpose of this survey is more about getting the lapsed donor re-engaged through activity than to have a statistically accurate data collection. After the survey, mix up your contacts if they still haven't renewed. Maybe another telephone call at 15 months, a postcard inviting them to visit a website promoting a special project that is exciting and needs funding at 19 months, an e-appeal with an urgent and unique offer at 22 months, and another phone call at 25 months. Now, I want to just add that some of you may not use telephone with your donors. The reason I'm recommending it here is it has proven to be very useful for reactivating lapsed donors. And you can also get some additional information as needed if they've moved or that kind of thing. So a telephone call occasionally during your lapsed donor recovery strategy can help you reconnect with your donors, and if you offer them an exciting opportunity, can get them to renew their giving to you. But remember, there is no set program. Just be sure you are persistent in inviting them to renew, and you're testing a variety of approaches and messages until you find the one that breaks through. Here are a couple examples of emails I recently received. The first one comes from World Wildlife Fund. They use a lot of premium offers, and so they offered me a premium for a minimum gift. The subject line was, "We want you back." There's no question what they're going for in this email. And they have a few links above the fold where I can give, including a nice bold Renew Today button. And this takes me to a special landing page for membership renewal. The second example comes from Save the Children. Again, the subject line leaves no doubt in my mind what their interest is. It says, "We miss you." And the headline is, "We miss you." And there's a donation button that says, "Rejoin the fight." The photo of the child is very strong, and the messaging is simple and powerful. We know supporters like you don't stop caring. There's a additional text below the Rejoin the Fight button, but above the fold, it's a very, very strong message encouraging me to once again become a donor. There are some groups of donors who are just tough to keep from lapsing. Those who give at an event may not renew through your usual fundraising methods, for example. Donors who give in memory of someone may be responding to a request from the deceased person's family and have no affinity with your organization. Other donors have a connection to a person, a staff or board member, or a volunteer, for example, and they really aren't feeling a connection to your cause once that person is no longer involved. So you need to understand the donor's motivation. Did they give because they believe in your mission or to fulfill a social obligation? Monitor these groups separately, and if the volume is significant enough, create a renewal plan just for them. But definitely know when to call it quits. You aren't going to eventually wear them down and get a gift. Continuing to mail to someone whose only gift is a memorial gift 5 years ago, frankly, is a waste of money for your organization. Finally, you have to plan for a purposeful ending. This means you measure every contact so you can replace any that aren't working, and you stop when it's no longer profitable to try to renew the donor. It may be 24 months after their last gift, 18 months after the last gift, 30 months after the last gift. If you're monitoring it, you will know when to say when. The bottom line is quit when it's no longer profitable. After that, you can add your deeply lapsed donors to your acquisition mailing. Generally, they will be one of the best performing segments in your acquisition mailing. You may also want to contact them occasionally when you have an exciting new program, an urgent need, or another offer that isn't simply business as usual. But one thing to remember, your job is not done when you reactivate your lapsed donor. You need to monitor reactivated donors to make sure your investment in the lapse renewal effort pays off. Simply renewing a donor, then mailing to him or her for another year, only to have that donor lapse again over time is not going to be profitable for your organization. So sweet talk your donors, provide plenty of options to give again, and if you show genuine appreciation when they renew, hopefully most of your reactivated friends will remain loyal to your nonprofit for years to come.
Okay,
so now,
great.
Are there
Thanks.
Any questions?
Thanks, Pamela. I do have a few questions. I know that you had talked about finding ways to bring these lapsed donors back into your file and get them active again. But at the same time, you had also said, I believe earlier on, that you don't want to, like, pull them out and put them into a separate file. How do you balance that? I mean, other than mail that is specifically meant to bring them back, how often should these lapsed donors hear from your organization?
Okay, that's a great question. We don't want to spend money that isn't productive for our organization, obviously. And oftentimes when a person becomes lapsed, we cut back. If we've been mailing to them once a month with the direct mail and also with a monthly newsletter, we may cut back and continue to mail them the newsletter, but only mail the direct mail to them 4, 6, 8 times, depending on what their cumulative giving has been over their lifetime or over the last year. So you'll want to keep them in your regular mail program, mailing reduced amounts of time, but on certain months, you will slot in a lapsed donor appeal instead of, or a lapsed donor effort instead of what the rest of your file is getting. But when you do mail to them the same mailing that your file is getting, that's when you want to be sure you're using the lapsed donor language. And in your variable text, you're reminding them that it's been more than a year. You're talking to them about how much you'd like them to come back, to be part of your supporters again, to once again share in the excitement of your program. So if the donor's only given you, you know, $25, $30, $40 a year for the last few years, you may only mail to them every 3 months for the last donor stream and 2 or 3, 4 other times a year. Obviously, your year-end mailing and some of your others that are some of the bigger months for your organization. But if they're a high-end donor, you're going to want to mail to them more often and give them plenty of opportunities to renew, being sure that you're talking to them as a lapsed donor and also showing a lot of appreciation for what they've done in the past, but reminding them that how important it is for them to continue giving.
Considering the cost of direct mail, would you advise using mostly or even all online or electronic communications to talk to lapsed donors?
I would suggest that it be a part of the plan, but unless your donors are accustomed to hearing from you via electronic communications and responding to you through electronic communication, you're possibly not going to be as successful. So there's an old adage that people renew the way they gave in the first place. And so if they gave their first gift through a direct response television program, for example, it's harder to renew them without doing something that another direct response television program, et cetera. We certainly have a lot of donors crossing over channels now, multi-channel giving, but there's still, you need to look at your donors, and if they typically are responding to you through direct mail, it's very important to talk to them through the mail and throwing in the telephone and some e-communication for variety, but don't rely completely on electronic communication, because if that is not the love language of your donors, you're going to have a difficult time courting them. And this really is a courting relationship. You need to think through what's going to make this person want to fall in love with me all over again. And if they like to talk to you through the mail, if they like to read your mail or have in the past, that's the way you want to be talking to them. But again, mix it up, give them some variety, because you don't know. The donor may have changed and you have an opportunity to renew them through another means. And that might be a question you put on your survey. Would you like to hear from us only through electronic communication? Mm. The downside of that, of course, is it's very easy to one day just be kind of set up and put that person into your junk mail folder and never hear from them again. So you want to be careful with that, but you also want to keep a balance with your donors and make sure that you're giving them a lot of variety so that they hear from you many different ways, and hopefully one of them will break through to them.
I was very interested when you were talking about those special challenging donors, the ones who maybe gave as part of a memorial gift or something like that. And I can see where that is a huge challenge, because they really are not, they don't have any special affinity to your cause, possibly. So I'm wondering, if you're trying to bring them back or keep them interested through direct mail, the only thing they might see from you is your outer envelope, because they might just toss it. What can you do on the outer envelope? And that, we only have a few minutes left, so maybe it's not fair to ask this question so close to the end of the webinar, but what can you do on your outer to maybe really get some interest from the people who don't have a real affinity for your organization?
Well, the outer envelope is so critical. It's been said it has two purposes, one to hold all the contents together and two to get opened. So you want to be thinking about, how am I going to break through and get these people to open my envelope? Quite frankly, your logo may not be it. They don't have an affinity to you, so you might want to just go with the very simple closed-faced envelope with a live stamp. Look very personal. If you want to stay with window, think about a more exciting envelope than a white wove number 10 window envelope. Look at a four-color photograph. Look at a teaser that actually is a teaser that doesn't scream, "Hi, I'm asking for money," but makes somebody want to open the envelope. Take a look at what others are doing in their acquisition programs, because you're really looking at these as acquisition donors. In a lot of ways, they don't have an affinity necessarily to you. They have an affinity to something else. So make your outer envelope very either very, very personal or very exciting to make them want to open it. Some of the environmental groups have done some beautiful envelopes. They have some great photography, and it's hard not to open the envelopes. And so look at what others are doing and ask yourself, what do I want to open when I see it in my mail? Throw out a bunch of sample mailings on a table and walk in, leave the room, and then walk back in and look to see what it is that makes it interesting to you and made your eye stop and want to look at that envelope, and use those ideas in designing your outer envelope.
Thank you so much, Pamela. You've given us some great information and lots to think about. On behalf of Fundraising Success and our session sponsor, ChemArt, I want to thank you for attending the 2012 Online Creative Summit and opting to view this breakout session. We encourage you to click on the gear icon below to view any of the other three breakout sessions. Have a great day, everyone.